Office of Federal Procurement Policy's new inherently governmental rules are out and linked up now at federalnewsradio.com. The rules include 8 changes to how agencies decide what work federal employees have to do, and one other big change. Angela Stiles is a partner at the law firm Crowell & Mooring and a former OFPP administrator, and here to talk about this. I appreciate your time this afternoon, Angela. Thanks for being on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
The other big change that I alluded to was just a change in the name. Our Jason Miller writes, starting with the name of the policy letter, OFPP changed it to Performance and Management of Inherently Governmental and Critical Functions instead of Work Reserved for Performance by Federal Government Employees. That jumped out at me as noteworthy. Is it anything deeper than that to it, really?
You know, it's frankly not that much deeper. I mean, it does have critical functions defined, but it doesn't say that critical functions have to be performed by federal employees, which I think is a very important distinction. It's telling agencies to take a close look at critical functions and take a close look at inherently governmental functions, but really the only ones that have to be performed by federal employees under this definition are those that are inherently governmental.
And there still is some freedom here, the way that I read it, for agencies to determine that inherently governmental function. What may be in one agency may not necessarily be at another agency.
There are no bright lines here whatsoever. There are very few bright lines, just like there were before, and I think the bright lines are hard to draw. And that's why you don't really see them here.
What, as you read through this, what else jumped out at you that you thought was interesting, noteworthy, unusual, anything?
Well, there's an inclusion of security operations in certain situations connected with combat, which is getting at our security contractors in Iraq and Afghanistan. Those were not included before. There's some significant language in here about when insourcing is required and when it needs to be accelerated, which I think goes beyond the definitions. There are examples of closely associated with inherently governmental, which are interesting. I'm not sure they're terribly helpful. There's situations also that are called inherently governmental, which I think some people might question whether they are truly inherently governmental at all. But those were the main things I noted.
Was there anything that, as you read through it and as you finished, you said, well, they didn't talk about or they didn't address X?
Well, they didn't address some, I think, really difficult situations that are organizational conflicts of interest with contractors, personal conflicts of interest. You know, they're being addressed in other rulemakings, but I think you have to put all of those together in order to have a system that really works well. And I don't think you can address things like, well, access to confidential business information by one contractor of another contractor's information. I think you have to have all of these different pieces fitting together. And right now they're a little bit stovepiped still with this definition.
Do you see things here that were not there before that you think it's good that they're there now?
I mean, I think it's good to have a definition and to have something to work off of, but it is the same definition that was there historically. The examples, although people will quibble over examples, particularly for activities closely associated with inherently governmental, but it's good to have the examples. It's good to have some of kind of the management functions that are in here as well. It also requires agencies to actually publish their own guidance on this. So I think it's helpful for people to be thinking about it, to push a little bit of the responsibility really to the agencies, to think harder about, well, how are you managing your workforce and how are you managing these functions, and, you know, is there enough work in the hands of federal employees in terms of what is inherently governmental, critical, and closely associated with inherently governmental? So I think the good part of it is that it pushes decision-making to the agencies.
As the agencies start to try to make those decisions, at the same time that they're wrestling with what, by all accounts, appears to be a tremendously rapidly contracting top-line number, do you see an interaction there between those two where agencies say, well, maybe this is something that we would consider that we would have kept in-house before, but we're willing to add it to the list of things that can be outsourced just because we're not likely to be able to get the people to do it anyway?
Well, I do think that's the real disconnect here. With the Budget Control Act and with the potential for sequestration coming up, the reality of the matter is the government isn't going to be able to hire people to do some of these functions if they decide to bring it in-house. And so, you know, the reality of the situation is quite different, I think, than when this was actually drafted.
And that reality is going to force the agencies to do what, do you think? Is it going to force agencies to go to the Hill and say, hey, we can't perform these aspects of our mission? Or is it, are they going to try to do the more with less routine, do you think?
I think they're going to have to do more with less. I think they're going to have to figure out how to reallocate some of this between government employees and contractor employees so that if you have a contractor that is performing an inherently governmental function, that you figure out a way that the government can do what they need to do in terms of exercising discretion and decision making, but it may not be terminating the contractor because you may not be able to bring that work in-house.
What else should we understand about this document? Anything else that is there that maybe isn't apparent on first blush?
It's a policy letter. It's not a regulation, and it's not a law. So it's within agencies' discretion to decide whether they're going to follow it or not. It can't be enforced by contractors or anybody else.
Should there be some mechanism in place to make this more effective, to make it something that agencies have to comply with, or is what it is appropriate for what it is?
Well, there certainly is discussion in the rulemaking about adding some provisions to the federal acquisition regulation to make this enforceable as a regulation. So I do think eventually you will see that happening, but that will take a couple of years, and I do think it is appropriate. I think a policy letter is helpful guidance, but if you really want to effectuate, permanent change, it does have to be in a regulatory fashion.